God's Word for You, Zechariah 1, verses 5 and 6. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded to my servants the prophets, didn't they overtake your fathers? After saying in verse 4, don't be like your fathers, the prophet now asks, those fathers, where are they now? This is a law passage, to be sure, but what should we make of his follow-up question, do the prophets live forever? Well, no, they don't. Not as far as this lifetime goes, but the prophets were the ones who called your fathers to repentance. And this is a different kind of law. The prophets, men like Samuel and Elisha, were not men who were condemned for their sins, for they had faith in the coming Savior. And therefore, let's see how this passage folds back on itself in an ABA pattern. A, your fathers, where are they? B, the prophets are gone too. A, my words overtook your fathers. And so to restore the prophet's question with a little added emphasis, A, what happened to your fathers? B, aren't even the prophets who warned them gone? A, didn't God's word proclaimed by the prophets who themselves died overtake and condemn your fathers for their sins and unbelief? If the prophets themselves are subject to death, the wages of sin, then how much more were your fathers subject to death, who were called to repent and failed to repent? And not only death, but eternal death and suffering in hell. This little sermon preaches the beginning of repentance, which is sorrow over sin and the fear of punishment for sin. Repentance is necessary for all people. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. Luke 13:3 and 13:5. Now, each of us stumbles and falls into sin many times every day, every hour. But God has given us repentance, and this way is open to us through the Word of God, who says, turn to me, and you will be saved, all the ends of the earth. That's Isaiah 45:22. The quotation marks that close the above verses reach back to verse 2. This was the prophet's first brief sermon. Although we would not be surprised if this was only the bare outline of what he actually said, we need to pay attention to this because the next sentence begins with, then they repented, which applies to the Jews living in Jerusalem and Judah at this time. Then they repented and said, this is continuing with verse 6. Then they repented and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to deal with us for what our ways and deeds deserve, so has been done with us. The second part of repentance that follows sorrow over sin is faith. This faith trusts in God's promises and trusts in God for all his blessings. Here the people of Judah have listened to Zechariah's words, and they have turned back to God in faith. This is shown by their words that acknowledge that what happened to their fathers was just and right, and that even the chastisement that they have received is also correct. Faith does not only rejoice over the enjoyable things God gives, but the necessary things that are not always so enjoyable as well. The Hebrew word for repent is used here, which is shuv. This means to turn around or turn back. God calls us to stop sinning and to turn back to him. In the New Testament, another word is used, metanoeo, which means to change the heart and to turn away from sin. This is the word Jesus uses when he says that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, Matthew 12:41. They had a true change of heart, and they changed their behavior and their evil ways, according to Jonah 3:10. This is what God is looking for in us. As we read the scriptures, we will see that repent usually means the entire act of repentance, that is, both sorrow and faith. Matthew 3:1, Luke 13:5, Luke 15:7. Sometimes, however, it seems only to indicate the first part, that is, regret and sorrow over sin. But in those cases, it is usually coupled with another word that illustrates the second part, which is faith. So John the Baptist might preach repent and believe, Mark 1:15, because his congregation was new to the idea of salvation through faith. And Paul can preach turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus in Acts 20:21, because he's describing his preaching throughout Macedonia and Greece, which was with new converts and who needed to be taught both parts of true repentance. A few centuries later, St. Ambrose showed his concern that the doctrine wasn't taught or understood properly in Italy or anywhere else. He said, "It is easier to find a person who has preserved his innocence than one who repents appropriately." It is the heart that God looks at. Remember 1 Samuel 16:7. Solomon seemed confused about the condition of the heart, for he writes in Proverbs 17:22 that a cheerful heart is good medicine. But then in Ecclesiastes 7, he says, "Sorrow is better than laughter because a sad face is good for the heart." That's Ecclesiastes 7:3. But the context of those passages is different. In Proverbs 17, he is encouraging us about our lives among quarreling neighbors and grandchildren, friends, parents, and so on. And so there is a need to keep a cheerful heart in the middle of the sins of the sinners who surround us, for we have a Savior from our sins. Yet in Ecclesiastes, he has brought you into a quiet room to talk about your reputation and the way you react when you are taken to account for your sins, and therefore sorrow over sins is needed. This is in keeping with Jesus' words, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" Matthew 7:3. When you are among sinful people, that is, every day of your life, be more concerned about your own sins than about theirs. And when you are with them, be glad that they have heard of their Savior. If they haven't, well, find whatever strange little pulpit that the Lord sets up for you and tell them about Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to eternal life. When you're alone, be equally concerned about your own sins, and pray that the Lord will lead you away from temptation and forgive your sins, as well as the sins of the dear people in your family, the way that Job interceded for his children in Job 1:5. For it is the heart God looks at first, not the things that we do. His people were commanded by Haggai to rebuild the temple, Haggai 2:15. But God wanted them to rebuild it for the right reason, with faith in their hearts, so that it would serve them until the time that Savior would come. For God did not only make us to be called blessed, but to be blessed. And therefore we say with Luther, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ commands us to repent, he wants the whole life of the Christian to be constant repentance. That's from the 95 Theses. It's actually thesis number one. Our God wants our hearts and lives to turn away from sin every day and to turn, and turn again to him. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.